Welcome back to Midnight in the Mountains, and Aaron is not here this episode, but I do speak to my friend Mike, who is from Canada. He is a paranormal investigator, and he has a YouTube channel and an Instagram, and goes by the name The Paranormal Road Trippers. So him and I get into some spooky stories, some things that we've experienced when we have been out investigating. He has some pretty good tales to tell, and we didn't record the same way that Aaron and I normally record. We ended up recording using Mike's Zoom account, and Mike has a bunch of haunted objects in the same room that he records in. So now, going through this recording and editing, there was a lot of unexplained banging noises, clicks, some stuff that sounded like voices, but it didn't sound like my voice or Mike's voice. When I record with Aaron, we usually record in two different channels, and I can see which side the sound is coming from, but with this recording, that isn't the case. Mike and I used the audio from Zoom, so it only recorded into one channel. So I can't tell whose side these noises came from. I'm not sure if some of the noises came from overlapping of noises, like if I was moving around while he was talking. But usually I remember when I move around, and I don't remember making any noise. And I know that he was definitely sitting still the whole time we were speaking also. So I'm not saying these are EVPs, and I'm not saying they're not. I just find some of them very strange. So I have pulled some of them out to make the recording sound a little bit easier to listen to, and then I have taken a bunch of them and put them at the end of the episode and put a little sound in between each clip so that you know it's a different sound clip. And I've also boosted the audio on some of them so that you can hear whatever the noise is a little bit better. So I cleaned up the audio the best I could. There are some times where I accidentally interrupted Mike and I spoke over him, so you could hear some of that in the audio. And also some of the weird noises, I couldn't remove them because they were over top of speaking. So if I would cut that out, then you wouldn't know what he was saying. So I just had to leave them in, but it's definitely interesting. Let me know your thoughts. You can always email me at midnight_inthemountains@yahoo.com. You can hit me up on Instagram at midnight_inthemountains. And I hope you guys enjoy this episode. And Aaron and I will be back next episode. Thanks, guys. All right, so I guess tell me your stories. What do you got for me?
I do. I have three stories for you that are quite terrifying. So we'll do it all work-related. We were just talking off the record button about work. And my first story was getting an attachment when I was at work. So with my job, unfortunately, I see a lot of dead people, like real ones, not ghosts. And I was at a property where we had to go retrieve animals from somebody that had passed away. And, well, he was still there. And the person had died in his bed, and the animals had been there for, I guess, 3 to 4 days, like unattended. And I was training an officer at the time, another officer, and there were cats underneath his bed, and we had to get those cats. And it took a long time to do, but it's kind of weird when there's a deceased person in the bed when you're under it, right? Trying to get. And anyhow, fast forward to that night, I actually had a paranormal investigation, and I'd felt kind of weird. Like, I see a lot of terrible things at work with my day job, and when I clock out, it's just nothing happened. It's just my day was great.
Yeah, you kind of have to do that.
Yeah.
And or otherwise, you'll go crazy.
Absolutely. And I arrived at my investigation by myself. I get out of my truck, and we'd had a psychic medium come with us this night because it was a pretty extreme haunt we were going to investigate, like poltergeist activity of things moving, things being broken and stuff like that. And he comes outside. He's like, Mike, who's with you? I'm like, I look at my truck. I look at him. I'm like, no one. It's just me.
Oh, boy.
And he goes, no. There's somebody with you. And he's really upset at you. I'm like, no. I was like, oh, in my head, I thought about it for a second. I'm like, okay, man, who and what do you see? And the medium, he's like, this man said you were in his house today and you were robbing it and ransacking it. In my head, I'm like, oh, F word. And I'm like, okay, well, what did he look like? And I kid you not, he described this guy to a T. The same physical features. Unfortunately, in my head, I can see it right now. I still remember what he looks like. He's like, this guy's not going to leave you. He wants to get back at you. Because it wasn't a great property anyway. It's like, with those cats under the bed, there were a couple bags of weed, right? So that's painting a picture, like big bags. And he's like, this guy thinks you were trying to steal from him, and he's attached himself to you like a bully. And then I'm trying not to panic in my head. I'm like, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. So the medium that was with us, he's a Métis elder. So in Canada, the Métis, they're kind of indigenous mixed with French people. That makes a Métis person. And he did some of his indigenous ceremonies on me, with, like sage and sweet grass and some tobacco. And I'm Métis actually myself. Before we started our investigation, it took him about 40 minutes to get this attachment off. And that really made me, and every time I go to one of these files, unfortunately, more often than not, I think about that. And it makes me weary. So I try to get the other people to do these types of files because I don't want those attachments and I don't want anything to do with that.
How long ago did this happen?
6 years ago, 7 years ago.
Oh, it was 6 years ago. For some reason, I thought this was like something recent.
Oh, that's the next one.
Oh, yeah. Okay. But I mean, gosh, I mean, like, what would you have done if that medium wasn't there? I mean, I guess you would eventually notice something.
I think so, because that whole day after that fight, because normally, like I said, I'm probably a master at compartmentalizing things. And when you leave those kind of files, you can either dwell or just shelve it and go on to the next file. That's kind of how we deal with things. It sounds horrible, but that's just the game.
No, it doesn't, because otherwise you'd be a mess all the time. So,
and that whole day, I felt kind of off. I felt a little agitated and I felt panicky, which I don't really feel often. So something was off, and I bet you probably would have increased, or one of my other like psychically gifted friends, because you know, in this field, you have a few of them that you hang out with, would have picked up on it. But I'm glad it was picked up on the day that it happened.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Could you imagine getting worse and worse? That's scary. That's really scary.
But I think what did it for me was how he described the person physically.
Yeah.
And how, like, he even described clothing he was wearing. Like, it was bang on.
Oh my gosh. I can't even imagine being in your job and then, like, you close your eyes and then that's what you remember. You picture this dead guy in his bed. That's a whole other level.
But, yeah, no, that was kind of terrifying, actually. Then the next story is just as terrifying. This happened at one of my work locations as well. And this was rumored to be haunted by all the staff. And I'm like, okay, hold my beer. Let's go see if this is haunted.
Yeah.
I was doing a graveyard shift. And so part of the graveyard shift duty, if you're not responding to files or emergencies, is just going to check in on all the different offices. So that's what I was doing. The one office in question I was going to is, well, the quote-unquote possible haunted one. And it's in kind of a rougher part of the city. And I was alone and probably around 3 a.m.
Of course.
Of course, right? And I park my vehicle. I back it in because we're trying back in everywhere for a quick exit, right? And I closed the gate, and then I'm just sitting in my vehicle because I just finished what I was doing in the barn there. And I see a man walk from the day office into the storage freezer area. And clear as day, just like I'm looking at you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I closed the gate. There's nobody here. I was just in all of the offices and everywhere. And he looked at me and walked right through the closed door.
Oh my God. No.
No. Old fashioned uniform from like 30 years ago. I'm like, oh, this place is haunted. I get out of my vehicle. I kind of take my baton out because what if it's somebody, right? And I'm like, easy, man. You saw the dude walk through the closed door. There's nobody here. So I go walk to the door. I try to open it. It's locked. And I know it's locked because I locked it. And I go to the other door. Same thing. And I look at the fence. I was like, well, is there a hole in the fence? I'm trying to like really unpackage what I just saw. I tell this to my coworkers the next day. And they're like, see, that's the one we see. I was like, okay, I'm part of the club now.
Oh my goodness.
Yep. Like the whole, I can still see it. Like while talking to you, he slows down. He kind of turned half of his body, looked at me, and then just walked through.
Did you get like chills or anything? Oh, or just?
I was absolutely terrified. But then I was curious and I checked it out. But the building's no longer here. And that's a place that I'm like, modern me would want to go investigate or sniff around to
see. Yeah.
What's happening?
I was going to say you should. Oh my gosh. I'm definitely jealous. That's something I want to see, is a full body apparition for sure.
That's definitely what we had.
I mean, clearly he knew you were there. He was aware of you.
Yeah, the whole rumor mill was somebody died that worked there a long time ago, you know, but nobody can confirm who. It's one of those lore-y urban legend stories. And yeah, I guess he did maybe work there, but or not. Who knows? Who knows what it was? Or who it was.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
I like that one better than the first one.
Yeah, fair enough. I'd make a good like short film. My third one goes back to dead people.
And oh yay. Well, I mean, I guess it's ghosts. I guess they're all dead people.
So similar situation of the first one. Like we get there and we do what we need to do and we leave. But then I saw that person from the corner of my eye for the next week. If I was changing in my room, there. If I was walking to my vehicle, there. Like just standing there looking at. And that one stayed with me for quite some time. But then it just went away, like I told it to. But then I don't know. I'm like, is that just like something in my brain? But I can't answer that. And again, that's why I'm a little apprehensive to go to those kind of files. And they're just, it's energy. Like that's one thing that I've been actually exploring now. Why do we get that when we see that? Like, does the spirit still stay with the person? Or how soon do they cross over?
I think I almost want to say it's probably different in every case. I mean, that's just my guess. But I mean, and why you? Why did it stay with you? Why are you seeing it? How long did you say it was there?
Like 3 weeks. Not every day, but like,
right.
Usually you shake it, but like I would be like, oh no. And then I'd look and not there.
Yeah, and I don't think it was just your brain or just you making that up, because I mean, clearly you've dealt with this before. So I would think that it would happen another time.
Yeah. And then someone just cracked in my place for real.
Really?
Yeah. It's probably nothing, though. Just the wind.
Like, oh, yeah. Yeah, probably nothing except your collection of haunted objects you have.
Yep. What else do we have? Yeah, we do. And we have a bunch of ghost gear beside us and cruising for it, right?
Yeah, you're definitely asking for it.
Those were my my work-related scary stories for you.
Wow. Definitely the second one's my favorite, because that's pretty cool. The third one's just creepy as hell.
Yeah, like, you just can't control it. It's like, go away.
I mean, imagine, I'd be so afraid to sleep. I'd be sleeping with the covers over my head and probably the lights on.
Nah, that's what sleep timer's for on the TV.
yeah, that's good, too.
Podcasts. But then they're always scary.
Oh my God. I cannot tell you. I had this thing for the longest time, like, because I have to fall asleep with something, like whether it's YouTube video, I prop my laptop up in bed or put a podcast on my phone or whatever. And I had this thing where I was, okay, I'm not listening to anything scary because that's going to like get into my psyche while I'm sleeping or whatever. And then finally I got over that. And I can't tell you how many times I'd wake up in the middle of the night and the scariest thing would be on and I'd be horrified and I wouldn't be able to go back to sleep for a while because during the day, okay, like, yeah, oh, that's creepy. But when you wake up in the middle of the night like that, it's
when you're listening to podcasts,
just even scarier. Yeah, I know. I remember it's definitely Sasquatch Chronicles was one of them. And there's some really scary Bigfoot creature or something.
But yeah, no, I just experiencing stuff like that when you least expect it, I think is also kind of the creepy part of it.
Yeah.
We're always, obviously, because it's a professional job, we're always extremely respectful because we get the things that happen. And because in my mind, I always say, hi, I'm just here to help. I'm sorry that this happened, and we're just here to help. And like I'll say that either under my breath or in my head, just for respect, because I wouldn't appreciate people coming in my house.
Right. I would do the exact same thing. There's times when I go, like, haunted places. There's sometimes where I've been in a group of people, and we've all been, like, creeped out. And it's so funny because I'll be like, okay, you have to stay here. You can't follow us. And then everybody else is in a panic and they're like, yeah, you're not allowed to follow us. So I'm kind of like the ringleader in that when that happens. But then sometimes I kind of just mumble stuff up under my breath because I don't want people to hear me and think that I'm nuts.
Yep. No. Nope.
But yeah, this is actually really funny. I remember the one time I went to, I did tell you the story when I went to the one bridge in Gettysburg and we all pile in my car and I said something like, in the name of Jesus Christ, you cannot follow us, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, amen. And the rest of the car full of people was like, amen.
You heard that preach.
Yeah, it was funny.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause then I often wonder if like they listen, 'cause some more often than not, like I've been followed home a few times from investigations, and I always say, please stay here. We respect you. We just wanted to get your story. And sometimes mm-hmm. I don't think they care, and they're just kind of like waving their fist at you if they're unhappy that you're there, or they find it really awesome that somebody wants to talk to them, and they really push to have their message like spread or sent to whomever.
Yeah, that's scary, because I guess you feel like you're kind of safe if you say, you know, you can't follow me home or whatever, but that doesn't always work.
No, and I've talked to a lot of investigators about that, like using protection, like stones or sage or
right.
whatever your beliefs are. Does it work? Or is it a safety blanket? It's a very debatable topic. That's an easy one to rope people into debates about. But like,
mm-hmm.
I think it's mind over matter a lot, but I do think objects do can lead to protection for what it represents. I've talked to some people who they don't believe any of it works, and it's up to the spirit.
Ooh, yeah. I personally don't agree with that, but I mean, I think a lot of it, I mean, a lot of people say it is intent also, which I could see, but I do think that there is some kind of whatever it may be, like properties to stuff that actually does ward off things and protect things. And the one reason that I am such a big believer in that is I had a family member do Reiki on me.
Oh, cool.
And it was very, very intense. And I'm like, can you do anything to make this feel less? And she's like, well, energy's energy. I can't lessen it. But she's like, I can use crystals. And she literally did this whole like grid up and down my body full of crystals. And when she was moving energy, I could feel this energy coming out of me and like just being sucked away like a vacuum by the crystals. So I was like, I know something's working. I know there's something to this.
I agree.
So
I fully agree. Like I usually carry black onyx with me, protecting from negativity.
Right.
Or I'll carry a rose quartz just for showing intent. I'm coming with love and respect.
Right. I had a black tourmaline bracelet that I would like to wear when I go to like haunted places, and I accidentally sucked it up in the vacuum cleaner. Yeah. So I think the vacuum bag got thrown out by accident. So
oops.
Yeah. I need to get some more.
Yep. Absolutely. But yeah, tourmaline is really good as well. And I carry that, or fire agate. That's another one that I was told to carry for protection.
Oh, I don't have that.
But then I find carrying too much of that limits your experiences.
It was funny that you say that, because when I went to Fort Mifflin, it was kind of dead. And I guess when we had gotten there, there had been like an event the day before or whatever. And the main ghost guy there was saying it kind of, for whatever reason, when there's an event, it kind of lessens the activity. And I wasn't feeling much. And I was like, all right, that's it. I had enough. I'm like pulling off my bracelets, pulling crystals out of my pockets, putting them in my bag. I'm like, I want to feel something. And then I go into this one section, and then I really did feel something. But I think it was because that section was different than the rest of the places that I had gone into, because what I had gone into was, they're called casemates, and there's different numbers, and it's jail cells basically. And it's sectioned off, and they would have different sections by types of prisoners. So the one section would be for Confederate soldiers. Then there was one for like political prisoners. And then there was just for your everyday hooligans or whatever. And when we went in there, we went in the one section, and I was okay, but I felt something touch the back of my head. And in that casemate, that's known for, there's a spirit there supposedly that likes to touch women's hair. And my sister had also sensed like somebody was in the room with us. I didn't get that. But then when I went up to the one where they kept the Confederates, I started getting really nauseous and really sick to my stomach and very dizzy. And I tried to stay in there, and I couldn't. I had to leave. I had to get out of there, because I'm like, I can't. And just before I even walked in there, I just got like the creeps just by looking in the doorway. There's something I don't like in there. And then there was another one, a casemate, where it was solitary confinement, and it was super tiny. And when I was in there, you know, I was in there with a couple other people. And the whole time I'm agitated. I'm getting like angry. I'm like, I want to get out of here. I don't want to be in here. I'm mad. I'm like, I just want to get out. And I'm realizing that I'm picking up on residual energy, because at the end of the night, I went to the guy, I think his name is Greg. And I went to him to the side, and I was like, what about that first casemate? I was like, is there a lot of residual energy in there? Like, what's going on? Because I was getting super dizzy, really sick to my stomach. And he's like, yeah, that's where a lot of the prisoners had, oh gosh, what was it? Like vomiting and fevers and sickness. There's a name for it, and I can't even think of what it was called at the time, but it was running rampant sickness. And I was picking up on that. And then I realized that I was probably picking up on the residual energy of the solitary confinement, where it's just like, oh my God, just get me out of here. I don't want to be in here, and just being completely agitated. I mean, I have a few other examples of where I've picked up residual energy. It's really weird. I can pick it up so strongly for some reason.
Yeah, me too. Like, and that's like, sometimes when I don't bring in like protection or whatever, I get that too.
Like, oh, yeah.
Especially where the trauma was or sickness, and you feel it.
Did I tell you when I went to the Dobbin House in Gettysburg what happened to me?
Yes.
Did I? Yeah.
That was the one where you got upset, right?
Oh, no, that was the Shanley Hotel, that whatever was there, I just was like left crying my eyes out, and I didn't know why I was crying. And there's a lot of bad stuff that happened at the Shanley. Like, I will never walk back in there again. That place is bad.
Right.
There's a lot of dark stuff in there for sure. But when I went to Dobbin House in Gettysburg, and it's now a restaurant, but it was used as a hospital, obviously. And the basement is made of stone, and there's a spring, like running water that runs through it which of course, and we get seated back in the corner, and I'm literally sitting next to this running water. My back is against the stone wall, and that summer I had a herniated disc in my neck, and I was in constant pain 24/7. Since then, I've had neck surgery, but I had just popped an 800 ibuprofen before I walked in the door. So like it should have been working is my point. But I sat down and I had so much pain and I was just sick to my stomach, and my friend's across the table from me and he's looking at me and he's like, "Are you good?" I'm like, "No, I don't feel good." He's like, "You're white. You're pale white." And I had to have my sister change seats with me because just sitting against the stone was just way too much. And I mean, I didn't feel good the whole time we were in there, but switching seats did help a little bit.
It's like a conductor.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just so strange. I've learned that I pick up on residual energy very strongly for some reason.
Yeah, and with that water running with the stone, yeah, that totally amplifies everything.
For sure, for sure.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty... Residual energy I find kind of creepy sometimes. Because, like,
you're feeling... You think so?
Sometimes, because, like, you're feeling that person's last emotion a lot of the time.
I didn't think of it that way.
Because, like... Residual energy could be like if you go investigate an area where somebody was shot in the stomach. That last feeling is pain in the stomach.
Right.
When the body exhumes that energy of getting shot in the stomach, that expels the energy into the atmosphere and probably imprints. That's just a thought or theory. But I think that happens.
I would definitely agree with that. I went to this one restaurant. I had gone on a trip, and I think we were actually coming back from the Shanley, which I hadn't stayed there. I went and got an Airbnb, and I stayed by myself somewhere else that night. And then on the way back, we stopped at this restaurant. I can't remember if I had told you this story either, so if I did, just stop me. But the restaurant was supposed to be haunted, and supposedly this guy walked in there, sat down, and shot himself. Like, had his last meal at the table and just sat there and shot himself at the table with a restaurant full of people.
Jesus.
In this one room. And it was like the room is separated by a doorway. And I don't know if that has anything to do with keeping the energy in from the doorway, but we went over there. And some people are like, "Oh, no, I don't feel anything." But then it was me and a couple other people. It was offensive. It just smacked you almost like a gut punch. The energy was just like, whoa, I can't even explain it. It was extremely heavy and it just was very powerful and like not a good feeling.
No.
It was bad. So... I mean, that stuff, it definitely stays.
That could even be a residual haunting.
Yeah, I wonder. I don't know. It could be. Mm. It could be. And then the other part of it, too, was there was something like, gosh, and I wish I could remember the name of that restaurant. Somebody got murdered there. They murdered their aunt or somebody with an ice pick. And then there was also the little girl that they would keep up in the attic or like in the top floor because she had some kind of mental illness. And this was obviously back in the day when that's what they did with people. And I forget what happened to her. I don't know if she died up there. Something bad happened. And I didn't know this. So we're walking out of the restaurant and this one woman like who's on the trip with us, she's like, "Look up at that window." She's like, "What do you feel?" And I'm like, oh my God, like I have the chills. And she's like, "Yeah, so do I." So it's just by even looking at that window, we could pick up on this energy. It's just, it's crazy.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's creepy how, because then it sticks with you too. And maybe like that can loop back to like the stories I told, that residual energy or residual haunting. Because of the whole, well, I guess not. One of them's clearly an attachment. But like just even seeing the man going from the one office to the other storage area, is that just a residual haunting being played over or what?
I mean, that's what it sounds like if everybody's seeing that. But then you said he looked at you. So, I mean, that doesn't sound residual to me. You know, I mean, like, I guess could it be that he's stuck in like a loop and that's what he's doing, but he's conscious of what he's doing?
Yeah, because the whole looking at me kind of put me off guard a bit.
Right.
At least he didn't run towards me.
Oh my gosh. I mean, he would have ran through you.
That would have made for a real cool story. Mine was just cool.
Yeah, well, I had talked to someone who was, I think, investigating in Tennessee, and they said they had a ghost horse run through them.
Damn.
That's crazy.
Have I ever experienced an animal spirit? Yes, pigs.
Oh, really?
I caught an EVP of pigs oinking. I was
walking
through an old historic town and walking, like, abandoned, like it's not active. And I was walking by where the old butcher used to be. I was going back on my audio to see if I got any voices, but here we are. Because we got pigs. In my audio report, I'd be like passing the hotel, passing the brothel.
Right.
Like I was calling out where I was. And as soon as I was passing the butcher area, I caught the pigs.
And I wonder if those were residual. I hope they were residual because that makes me really sad to think that they'd be stuck there.
They're probably running free and living their best afterlife.
Yes, that's what I like to hear. I agree. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, those are my stories for you.
That's some good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I asked for an email and then you fully delivered.
Yep. I'm not the greatest writer, so I prefer the gabbing about it. Next time I'll give you my terrifying stories of being touched or by ghosts or observing people get scratched.
Oh, I've been touched more than once, and it's not as scary as you would think. The scratching thing, that freaks me out.
Yeah, I'll save those for next time.
Okay. I'll
give you another three.
Okay.
My stories and threes. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, tell everybody where they can find you.
You can find me at Instagram as the Paranormal Road Trippers, or YouTube, the Paranormal Road Trippers, or, this is the first time I get to say this, at our website called ourhauntedheritage.com.
Ooh, fancy.
Yeah. But basically every documentary we put out or investigation we film, we showcase all of our evidence there, and it's all categorized by location.
No, hold on. Aren't you hooked up with Haunted History BC or something like that? So tell me about that. For some reason, I don't know how I even started following them on Instagram, but I follow them on Instagram, and then I always see you guys together.
Yeah, Gina, she's an amazing lady. Haunted Heritage, they're authors. And they go to they write stories about all the different locations they go to, and they talk about the history, the old historic buildings, and oftentimes we go out and investigate together, or we have coffee together, we meet up and share our tales of the road together, and they're amazing. They're amazing ladies.
I love it. I wish I could join so badly.
The door is always open if you want to come up here and investigate.
Yeah, need to get on a flight.
Yep. We're going to be in Reno in May.
Oh, wow. What are you guys doing there?
Because I do, it's Dave Scott's listener party for Spaced Out Radio. And then I'm going to Virginia City.
No.
I sure am.
I want to come. Oh, my God. When is that?
So Dave Scott's thing, or Spaced Out Radio's thing, is the Friday to Sunday. So May 10th to 12th, off the top of my head. And then I'm going to Virginia City from the 13th to the 16th.
Oh, man.
By myself.
You're crazy.
You know, we only live once. Maybe I'll get I was going to make an attachment joke, but we're not going to go there.
Let's not.
No.
Let's not. You're kind of like Velcro, so be careful. Alrighty. Well, thanks for chatting with me.
No worries. It was fun. indigenous mixed with French people. That makes a Métis person. Then I often wonder if, like, they listen. Oh, yeah, I was just going to say, I've talked to some people who,
For sure.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty... Residual energy I find kind of creepy sometimes. Yeah. And then someone just cracked in my place for real.
What?
And, well, he was still there when we went in. And, my day was great.